Today we do enter into this wonderful and yet strange season of Advent. It's a wonderful season and in many ways familiar to many of us for a variety of reasons. We anticipate the holidays, the gatherings, the food, the lights, the music. Hopefully we like the spiritual dimensions of the season as well, pondering a bit more the mystery of what it means that God breaks into our world, that God enters our time and our space, that God moves among us. What does it mean for us? And how might God show up more fully and be more present to me or to us this season? And yet, there is a certain strangeness about this season we call Advent, because here in the church, at least, we try to slow down a bit. We stave off the celebration, not rushing too quickly into the joy and the miracle of Jesus' birth, but rather we try to get in touch with that pre-Christmas longing that was present in God's people in the Old Testament in Isaiah's day and age, and even that we can maybe get in touch with in our own souls and spirits, that pain and that longing that is there for God to keep working or to do some new thing in my life. And so we encourage silence and we encourage waiting and patience and these spiritual disciplines, as well as looking inside for that desire to see and to experience a Savior. And it's strange because even as we look out and we see streets and neighborhoods coming alive with lights and decorations and radios blaring out popular sounds of the season, here we are waiting, maybe practicing silence in this frenzied, noisy season, creating space to listen to God. And each Sunday, then we gather here, it's a kind of an escape from the frenzy around us, to pull back from the hustle and the bustle of the outside world and enter a quiet, holy space to wait and to listen, to have some silences, some pauses where we can maybe breathe and to ponder how God is speaking in my own soul. What is God's timing in my life and in God's timing in our world? Our scriptures this morning reflect on time. This theme of time comes out in all of our scriptures, and this theme of days comes out as well in our three scriptures that were read this morning, our days and God's days and the day of the Lord. Isaiah speaks about the days to come with this grand vision of the future where swords and weapons are turned into guarding tools, a future where Isaiah proclaims, we ain't going to study war no more. In Matthew, Jesus speaks about not knowing the day or the hour of when God's return will happen, that unexpected time. And Romans, in chapter 13, Paul writes, you know what time it is. Wake up. The day is near. The day is near, the night is far gone. We gather here on December 1st, the first Sunday of Advent, 24 days away from Christmas. And we could ask ourselves this morning, will these 24 days be our days or somehow God's days? And will these days go slowly or way too quickly? And maybe part of the answer to that question depends on how old we are. When we were young, December was the longest of all months. Children can't wait for Christmas season. Advent feels long and slow, like maybe running a marathon. But when you're older, it's a sprint. The season passes so quickly these days, it's the quickest month of the year, December. There's so much to do and so little time. And needless to say, if December is a race, or any time we're feeling pressured and needing to play catch up, then we're only going to experience a breathless feeling, feeling winded and stressed. So we gather to intentionally slow down, to remind ourselves to take a deep breath. Because it's easy to live by our calendars, our schedules, and all the commitments we have, and to move through the season like every other season of the year without hardly paying attention to what else is happening around us. We live with our eyes half shut, like we're in a daze, or we're sleeping, to use the words of Romans this morning. Not fully awake, not alert to God's work. Wake up, Jesus says in Matthew 24. Wake up, be alert, pay attention, get ready. Something big is about to happen. Whose time? Whose time are we living by these days? Our time or God's time? Will we be driven by those calendars that we carry around in our pockets or our wherever, a slave to our to-do list? Or will we also, at the same time, have our eyes open to God and be attentive to how God might break in to our calendars and into our routines? Are we paying attention for God's stirring in our lives? Jesus says it will be a little bit that way when the Son of Man returns. It will be like the days of Noah, Jesus says, where everybody was going about their familiar patterns. They were following their calendars. They were carrying out their routines of life. You might be eating at Wendy's or standing in line at Kohl's or reading the morning newspaper or drinking your coffee or taking your children to school or staring at a computer screen or studying for a test or preoccupied with all that you're doing in life, when all of a sudden you think about something else. God gets your attention. There's a sense of peace. You think about a project that you did or the recovery of an illness or the health of a family member. And you say, could it be? Is that a God thing? In Matthew 24, Jesus speaks of another time, a dramatic, sudden time of disruption. A flood comes along as in the days of Noah and then sweeps it all away, or a thief, Jesus says, comes and in the middle of the night and carries away all your stuff. That's how the end comes, quickly, suddenly. You don't really have a chance to prepare for it. And what will happen to all the stuff you've accumulated and all that you've studied for and worked for? Anything could happen at any time, it's as if Jesus is saying. Anywhere. Maybe. It's the way God will get our attention. And when we were younger and we read these words, they were scary words to us. And maybe to some of us, we hear these words this morning, they're still scary. But they're words maybe at their core that are meant to wake us up, to help us pay attention. It's like two farmers working in the field, Jesus says, one's taken and the other is left, or two women who are grinding at the mill and one is taken and the other's left. It's how quickly life can change. God is described as a kind of thief, coming in a dramatic way. It's a strange image for God. Taking away all that we might love and appreciate about this life? I don't know. That's not quite the path I want to travel to get to the promised land or eternity or Bethlehem. If God is going to enter our lives like a thief and scare us or rob us of our loved ones or prized possessions, well, we could get the idea that maybe we shouldn't come to church this season or pay too much attention to God. Give us the frenzy and the stress of the outside world and keep God at an arm's length. We're not too sure about this God. But what is the point that Jesus is trying to help us see? That maybe we hold too much to the stuff around us, to the things around us, to the order around us? Maybe we trust the order and the routine in our stuff. We cling so tightly, Well, it's even hard for us to depart with a box or two or a carload of things to the Care and Share store because, well, it's our stuff. It's our routines. It's our pattern. We don't like change. We like the routine. It's unsettling to think about change. It's destabilizing to think about a move or a transition. But sometimes, in hindsight, often and usually, after an upsetting experience, we discover, well, yeah, our trust really was not in God, but in the stuff and life around us. And maybe somehow our time is being wasted on our own stuff, on our hobbies, on our careers, or some addiction, or something that we need to break out of this season. We need maybe a little disruption, maybe not dramatic. Well, we don't know how these catastrophes happen or why they happen, why personal chaos arises, or when the winds of change will blow in our lives. We don't know some of these things in the future, but what we do know and what we can affirm this morning for sure is that God is with us in the midst of change and disruption, and that God can still speak in the midst of that chaos and disruption, that God can use these ordinary and sometimes chaotic circumstances to get our attention and speak into our lives in a new and different way. And sometimes even God's voice is heard in the strangest of experiences. I mean, consider the Christmas stories, the stories that we tell this time of year, and how God appeared to people in the past, angels showing up unannounced to Zechariah in the temple, shepherds out in their field in the darkness of the night going through their ordinary predictable routines of storytelling and resting and whatever they were doing, Mary and Joseph minding their own business, planning for their marriage and their future. It was just like the days of Noah. Life was pleasantly, happily routine, normal, orderly, and it was taken for granted. But then something happened. God shows up. There's disruption. There's change. And at the time, I'm sure, it didn't seem like that change was for the better. And so you and I, we make our world as change-free as possible, surprise-free as possible. I mean, aside from birthday parties and maybe nicely wrapped gifts, most of us don't like surprises very much. We try to make our world predictable and safe. We surround ourselves with locks and passwords and retirement funds and insurance plans, and all these are good things, of course. But the images of this scripture this morning of a thief, of a flood, of destructive forces remind us that nothing in our lives is really that secure. Our lives hang by a fragile thread, and our loved ones too, and we ourselves know we're temporary. We're temporary residents. And we know that by the aches and the pains that we bear in our bodies as well. Most of us, most of the time, are under the illusion maybe that life is pretty secure and anchored tightly until, well, you get a phone call in the middle of the night or you receive a doctor's report that says something doesn't look quite right here on these x-rays, or the boss says your job is being discontinued and suddenly life isn't ordered or predictable. In her memories of a cloister life, Kathleen Norris, in her book, A Cloister Walk, says that much of monastic spirituality is designed to help us remember that we're not the center of our world. We're not the center of the universe. And therefore, she says that a monk's favorite verse is from Saint Benedict that reminds us to keep death daily before your eyes. It's a reminder that change can happen, disruption can happen. here on the first Sunday of Advent, our scriptures remind us then to make good use of our time, to keep awake and to pay attention, to open your senses to the entry of God in our lives, in our world, and maybe even to climb up a holy mountain with Isaiah to get a new point of view on the world and what God might be up to. Someone in commenting on this Isaiah text, this invitation to go up to God's holy mountain, when commenting on that vision, is reminded or recalls a delightful scene from the movie Dead Poets Society, with Robin Williams playing a creative teacher trying to get a disruptive, rambunctious group of high school boys to appreciate poetry. And he can't do it. They're bored in his classroom of poetry, these young men. But something he does to get these young men to turn the corner, he gets up on top of his teacher's desk and he stands up there and he asks the class, "Why am I standing up here?" And one boy says, "To feel taller." And he says, no, good try. "Why am I standing up here?" And he goes on to answer his question, "I stand up here to remind myself that we must continually look at things in a different way." You see, William's character says, the world looks very different from up here. And then dramatically, he invites all the boys in the classroom to come up behind the teacher's desk and to get up on the teacher's desk and to say, see for yourself as you stand on this desk. And in the process, he turns these rambunctious, disconnected, and distracted boys into lovers of poetry. It was a creative, disrupting, but memorable teaching moment. Friends, we gather this morning to begin our wait. But it's not a passive time of waiting. It's an active waiting, of being alert, of listening when we're going through the routines of our lives, paying attention, because this is a season of vision and visitation. This is the season of intrusion of God into our world. So keep awake. Be alert. Be ready. Stand up on your desk if you need to. Get a new perspective on the world. Pay attention. In a few moments, we'll be invited to receive bread and to dip it into the cup and partake of communion. We'll also be invited, if you care, to receive anointing as well, to get in touch with those aches and fears and trials and stress, because, well, anointing is for generally physical healing, but it's also a way of opening ourselves more to God's work in our lives and to be more attentive and aware of how God might be wanting to speak to us this season. So friends, know that the Lord is near, and God may meet us when we least expect it. Amen.